Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that truly was designed with you in mind to motivate you, to inspire, to move you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's a show that kind of changed up a couple of things because we've got two exciting co-hosts that, oh my God, even though we're like miles apart, we're still like interconnected. We have, of course, my guy, KJ Powell, and of course, no other than Niles Finkley. You guys, you're there, right?
Yes, we are here.
Wonderful. Man, I'm so excited. You have no earthly idea. I've been waiting. I kid you not. I've been waiting for this moment because I you know, with everything going on, I'm writing and I'm deciding, okay, God, what do I talk about today that will prayerfully help somebody get up and get busy? And the principle is getting started in chaos. I mean, come on, man. Think about that thing. What better way to stay interactive with people, with society, than just saying, you know what, you got to get started. And yeah, we're in chaos, but let's go. So the premise of getting started in chaos is it's threefold. You're wanting to change your perspective, right? The way you see things, that's what perspective means, right? So I honestly I've got this school of thought that when you ask God to give you a new perspective on maybe things that you thought were, monumental roadblocks or things that just, it looked like, it's not a good time to start. Why not ask him to give you a new or fresh perspective, right? And then the second thing when you are getting started in chaos, you want to write things down, write that goal, write that idea, write that objective, that plan, that dream, write it down on pen and paper, with pen on paper. Now, you may say, well, why not? I could just take a note in my phone or on my laptop or my iPad. You know, it's easy to do that. But what I've learned in times past, when I am just jotting a note on my phone, I don't necessarily go back to what I've written down. But if I painstakingly, okay, get a piece of paper, get a pen, and go to writing down that plan or that objective, for me, it's almost like an invisible point of reference. For lack of a better word. So write down with pen and paper that goal, that idea, that whatever's been keeping you up at night. And then the third thing to getting started in chaos, you've changed your perspective, you're writing it down now. Now you're going to add superlatives or characteristics to what you're doing. You're going to get excited. You know, someone said, well, you're just saying fake it till you make it. No, we don't like to use jargons like that. You're going to get excited about what you're doing. you're going to get that why, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? And then you're going to have some type of expectation on realizing or seeing what you're writing. And these characteristics can really be used throughout anything that you're doing in life. When you are excited, when you have identified your reason why, and when you are expecting to have something come out of what you're starting, it just kind of makes for a really good kind of way of doing things. And if you're not careful, and you want to be careful, you will start to have it as a lifestyle on anything, any kind of planning or pre-planning. And the premise to this particular principle is start getting started. That's getting started to be anything that you really are planning to do. You just got to get started. One foot in front of the other, right?
Yes. Are we supposed to like chime in then? It was a nice little pause there. I'm like,
you're doing it.
Is that like a cue right there? I think we both missed it if that was a cue.
Yeah. Oh,
hey, man. I guess we're supposed to talk. Don't let this social distancing stop us now. Come on, guys.
Social contact.
We're merely operating in physical distancing, but socially we still are. You know, we still got our hands to the plow, and we're still doing those things that really will bring value to not only our lives, but the people that we serve. And I honestly believe that when you just make up your mind to do something, you're going to do it, period. You are.
That's true. Especially if you care about it enough and you have a connection to it, and it comes from a place of conviction, you will get it done. That's true.
You know, I've heard you use that word conviction, Niles, before, and I know I'm just kind of going off script, but we'll get there, because in this show, I like the fact that, yeah, we're physically distancing ourselves, but we're still socially conscious enough to know that, you know what? We live by, and I believe this to be true, we live by convictions. We really do, especially when you're dealing with the soul of who you are. You live by conviction.
It's like a burning desire.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you got to have something in the furnace.
You better believe it. So if you're applying, Niles, KJ, if you were applying the principle getting started in chaos, I guess, you know, not to ask too much of you, but how would you apply that to what you're doing now?
It's funny because I was in a class with my acting class this morning, and my teacher was asking, like, what are you guys doing creatively during this time? And a lot of people are writing, reading scripts, preparing for upcoming shows that we have in the next year. And I think during this time, you just got to find something that, for me at least, that works towards my goal or my, like, for me, it's like reading plays, watching movies, studying different actors. I'm still in acting class, still virtually, but still, I'm still getting my work in. So I'm not, just sitting here doing nothing. I mean, of course I do have other stuff I need to handle, but creatively speaking, I just have to keep that fire burning.
For sure, because the work that you do behind the scenes is pretty much everything. I mean, you're not always going to be on stage. You're not always going to be in class. You have to always continue to, you know, sharpen your skills and you know, sharpen yourself. Like I said, especially if you care about it enough. But I think that also goes hand in hand with, you have to have a sense of integrity and discipline. Because if you don't have those things, then what's going to actually push you and motivate you? You know, it's beyond routine, but, you know, it's, you know, what is it? What is your drive? You know, what's pushing you? And that comes down to, like I said, who you are, and, you know, your morals, your values, and things that matter to you.
Absolutely. Like, during this time, like, when this time is over, you're going to know who was really working and who really wasn't.
Exactly. It's going to show. It's going to be obvious.
Oh, God. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Especially if you play a sport. It's going to show in many ways.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right, Niles. It will.
I'm circling around social media when you before quarantine and after quarantine, you then ate all the food in your kitchen and your whole body gives out. You just like, look, you know, everyone's spending your time wisely, you know, certain time.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to say no to the wrong things and yes to the right things.
You better believe
That's all at your discretion.
Oh my God. I guess I'm still stuck on we'll see who's been working and who's just been talking about working, right?
Yeah. Because it's easy to talk, but at the end of the day, results speak.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Which reminds me of something. I mean, since we're being transparent here, right? I'm reminded when I remember once when I was talking about, and I say talking about losing weight. I was on this big kick. You know what? I'm going to lose 15 pounds. You know, this is just going to be new me. I'm going to do it, but I really wasn't okay. I didn't have that conviction to really get up and or the discipline to get up and exercise and watch what I was eating and even getting into a point where I'm counting calories. But I even put a deadline onto, all right, I'm going to have 15 pounds gone in 5 weeks or 6 weeks. The sixth week came and I'm looking at myself thinking, oh dear God, I've gained 10 pounds, you know? So, you know, it's, you gotta put in the work. I guess that's, you know, what I'm saying here. There, you know, it's easy to talk about it, but we gotta be about it. We really do.
Yeah. Like, you can have the desire, but do you have the willpower?
That's a good one.
You know, because like I said, that comes from discipline. I think it also could be embedded in the fabric of the person. And, you know, you have to have your morals, your values and perspective and your vision aligned. And if you're a person who is, you know, serious about whatever it is that you care about, then, you know, you'll get it done eventually. I mean, everybody has their own different speeds and, you know, marathon versus a race and so on. So, I mean, you know, even if it's incremental, you need to be working towards, you know, whatever the end goal is, even if you're a little bit slower. Because, you know, by this time, I was supposed to look like The Rock this year, you know, and I'm a little off right now. But once again, in increments, you know, I'll get there. But, you know, but you have to... Yeah, so you have to, you can pace yourself, but just remember that there's a result that you're pushing for, and that's what you need to focus on. But it's hard, especially when it comes to, like, fitness. You know, when it comes to, like, even with, like, gym memberships, like, everybody gets a gym membership, you know, in January, you know, for that the New Year's Eve and so on, and then after about a few weeks, the gym is empty. You know, so it's like that's why I use the word conviction so much, because if you actually have conviction and you actually care about whatever it is, that thing that you say that you do care about, you know, you'll make time for it. But once again, it also depends on where you are in your walk. Because some people have to start over multiple times. What'd you say?
I was just gonna say, it reminds me of what Will Smith says. Like, I'm going to lay down this one brick perfectly today. Then I'll do the next brick. perfectly the next day. Then at the end of like time, you have this huge wall. And people are like, oh, where'd that wall come from? Instead of trying to build the wall all in one day.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Yep. And then like we shouldn't bend or yield to, you know, discouragement or not getting the results that we are looking for like immediately. And, you know, especially when it comes to fitness. But when it's not even just fitness, even if it's spiritual fitness, mental fitness, emotional fitness, you know, just because you aren't where you think you should be at the time, that doesn't mean that, you know, the results, you know, aren't around the corner. It is 100% up to you. And I, once you take that on, take on that responsibility, and you understand that you have more power than you act, you think you do, and that you're exercising, because also it comes from God. You know, you'll start to, you know, get into the right, you know, mode.
Absolutely.
So you said something that was just really kind of right on spot. Everything you say, you guys, please know that it adds to this big, beautiful mixture of jambalaya that we're preparing here. But you said you have to make up your mind. I would agree that everything you do is a result of you, I would hope, you know, it would be a result of you making up your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think that also speaks to the conviction, you know, as well. Like, I speak about conviction a lot because, like I said, there has to be a driving force behind what you're doing. And you have to mean what you say. And not just mean what you say, but people can tell that you mean what you say by your actions and what you do.
Absolutely.
So that conviction piece is everything. I will use it all day, every day, because that's how I get started. And it's a great foundation to build on.
Boy, you said that and I got goosebumps everywhere, man, because you're absolutely right. We can think
about it. Because I said it with conviction.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's not easy. Especially when you're dealing with life and chaos. Chaos will knock you off your feet 1,000 times. Life will knock you off your feet 1,000 times. But to be able to still continue to power through that and see through, you know, the end goal, that's what it's all about. And we're talking about chaos today. Chaos is all around us, you know, it's right now. But like I said, if you have that discipline, that conviction, that willpower, and that focus, you know, you should be good. And that doesn't mean you're always going to be on point. That doesn't mean that you're always going to, you know, make all the correct steps. But even if you make the wrong steps, you learn from those steps and redirect yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like at the end of the day, all you have is yourself, God, and life. You gotta learn how to have a relationship with all of them, even though most of the time life isn't on your side.
That's true. Although both are a gift. Both are a gift.
Yeah, both are a gift. The life is like, oh, okay, I'm on your side. Nah, never mind.
Yeah.
One day it's good. Well, next day it's bad. Then next day things are gonna be good. And it's like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? Yeah, at least have like you have to at least expect like goodness coming out of your day.
Yeah, because if you think about Jesus's journey, like he endured nothing but chaos when he was here.
Absolutely.
But you know, even when it came to the crucifixion, but he knew that he had to get that thing done in order to pretty much free everyone and, you know, get us to the point where we can have the potential opportunity to get to heaven. He had to follow the course. And like I said, he dealt with nothing but chaos, more than any of us could ever even fathom.
But even in that chaos, wouldn't you say that it was an organized chaos? I know that sounds, you know, ludicrous, but wasn't it organized? I mean, think about it. You his walk, right? And then even prior to his walk, you think about God, man, creating everything from chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It was chaotic.
It had
absolutely no form, nothing. And all he did was speak. And if you really dissect that thing, don't we still have today the opportunity to and the authorization to speak and say, let there be light in situations that are blinding, and life that's, you know, chaotic or traumatic at best, at worst. Can't we say, let there be light, and expect to see light in a situation that looked like it's dark?
For sure. I think it also depends on, you know, what you think light is, because light can be perspective. You might not be 100% delivered from that situation at the time, but God may send you like a tool or send you an aha moment so you can get through to the other side, so you can get to that light, which is God, of course. But yeah, it all depends on if you're privy and aware of, you know, that light, and, you know, miracles can come in different forms, shapes, and sizes.
And also, we talked about this on the last show that life has this continuous cycle of chaos and peace, chaos and peace, chaos and peace. So you have to understand that, okay, during this time we want the chaos, but I know that at the end of chaos always comes peace.
Spoken like a prophet for the ages. There's always peace, absolutely. Absolutely.
And speaking of peace, like, peace can mean different things, you know, based on, once again, what you take from that situation. It could be like, okay, I've analyzed the situation and I've come to a point of peace with it. And, you know, it can mean different things based on the situation.
So you're saying that there are many definitions to peace? Help me with that.
No, I'm not saying there's many definitions to peace, but I'm saying it can mean different things based on the situation. Like, the situation can still be going on in and around you, but if you've developed a level of consciousness and understanding, then, you know, that situation could, you know, work for you. Or just, you can get to a point where you analyze things and you understand the perspective and what that situation is about and what it's for. So you're at peace with it.
Okay. So you're unbothered or unfazed with all of the moving parts and everything that's kind of going, you know, circling out of control. You're just unfazed and you continue doing what you're doing, right?
Yes. And I think it's a journey to get that point, to get to that point. But like I said, I think if you understand what you're going through and what's in front of you, I think sometimes you come to that point of maturity where, okay, this is what the situation is. God has given me the tool to get through this situation. Absolutely. So then peace comes with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you come to expect it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How do you get there? Like, people are trying to find like this inner peace among themselves and this acceptance self. How do you find that peace for anybody in search?
I think there's different ways for that too.
Okay.
You know, outside of experience, you know, there's prayer. You know, there's just learning as you're going through that experience. But I think all of that has to kind of point and direct itself towards God, because He'll provide you with the meaning. He'll provide you with the substance behind that experience. You know, whether it may be good or bad, but I think you have to look to the light at all times. Because, you know, understanding that situation or that perspective from our perspective may not provide us with what we need in totality to deal with that situation or understand that situation. So I think when it comes down to it, you can analyze it from a human perspective, but then you may have to go deeper than that and ask God for God's perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely concur with what you're saying. It almost speaks to the soul of a man. You know, the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those three constructs make up your soul. So when I'm dealing with like what we're going through now, for me, it has truly been getting, like you said, inwardly, you know, going in and just, sometimes I'm just quiet. I get off to myself and I'm there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong. I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. I just need to be quiet so I can hear. So it's like quieting the noise in my head, the what ifs, and, you know, what if this happens, or, oh my God, you know, they're expecting that to happen. I have to kind of, you know, steal away. Seriously, steal away and just be quiet. And mm-hmm. I find myself when I'm doing that, I really am at peace. I it's like I'm in his presence. So I've come to trust that when I'm in his presence, there's absolutely nothing and no one that can hurt me. There's, you know, if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to, it's okay because I'm in his presence. I'm at peace with the situation. So that's one of the modalities that I've been using to get through this, and it really does work. Just yeah. be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Because I think naturally, as human beings, we can be prone to chaos. You know, it's kind of like how we get through such situations. And I think, you know, most of the time, or sometimes chaos can be created, you know, from yourself, from, you know, human beings. We try to find answers and do things from, once again, our level of perspective. And sometimes we create chaos or more chaos for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that definitely going to that quiet place that you just mentioned and just listening and being still, which is something that we fight against on a daily basis because we're always bombarded with something. But getting to that place, it's a journey to get to that place because, you know, I feel like sometimes we've kind of just adapted and gotten so used to chaos to the point where, like, if the lights are off and the radio's off, what do we do with ourselves?
You know? True.
So we have to learn to embrace that because we're always looking for distractions. Yeah, we always look for distractions. We look for distractions so we don't have to deal with our fears. We don't have to deal with ourselves. Like, it's so many different things we look for, you know, when it comes to distractions mm-hmm. to take us away from this thing called life and our worries and everything.
Yeah.
This conversation can go a whole totally different direction if it's attracted with on distractions. But like the media, Instagram, Facebook, it's like TikTok. You can spend 3 hours on TikTok and you just and just like, oh, what day it is? What day is it?
Yeah.
I mean, but that goes. That also goes in the discipline, like knowing when to like go on certain social media. Like for me, on my phone, I have blocks. Like I can't go on social media on my phone for more than an hour.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I love
and
that.
I put in the password if I need it.
That's
time will fly by. That time will fly by.
I can't be on my games for more than a minute. I'm like, there it is.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Here's a question. Can distractions be common?
What do you mean by that?
Like, could they serve as a form of peace? Or are they something to avoid peace?
Man, you know, that's too far.
I see what you mean.
You know that's twofold. KJ, I'll let you answer that. I'll answer last.
did I just throw a wrench in the program?
You did, man.
That was another little pause
just
right there.
The whole program. I see what you mean. Like, I know when I get home and I have a long day, what's therapeutic for me is I'm up on my Xbox. Okay. Because, like I like games with strategy and I will figure things out subconsciously. So I like to play like NBA 2K and I like to play like the My GM. So like I'm figuring stuff out in my own world. So like I know that's like the fun. But like go back what you're saying. Like yes, it can be a form of like finding peace, but like that's to understand like you can't have that control. Like have that be your like refuge.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So you have to balance it, like, and have discipline. Just that.
Mm. Yeah. Balance. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I would when you I'm going to ask that question in my answer. Can distractions be a form of peace? I would have to say I think I said twofold. The first fold would be, no, it cannot, only because it's only taking your mind away from what you really need to be dealing with, right? So it's just added another distraction. And, you know, but the second fold would be an example. I start my day every morning with two things. One, Thanksgiving, and two, the Word of God. Oh, three things, and a pot of coffee. Yeah, I know some of my coffee enthusiasts will probably get on to me. Hey, you could go into AFib, you know better. Yeah, I do. Old habits die hard. But that piece from reading the scripture for me, I do about five scriptures every morning, right? And that's not to boast or brag on what I'm doing, but it merely gets my mind focused on what really matters. How can I be an example of the word today? And that's in chaos. Mm-hmm. That gives me peace. It really does. Sorry. All right. Trending topics. We've got a lot to talk about. Guys, don't forget, for those who are listening, you can stay interactive with us at the Dr. Tanji Show, either on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter. We really welcome your comments, your suggestions, what's on your mind. Mondays at 5 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, 5 p.m., you have your Talk to Tanji Show, and it's an opportunity to really kind of ask those questions that we don't get to do to answer in the show. But trending topics is where we're headed. And KJ, Niles, I know you have a plethora of advice to shell out, right?
Yeah, advice. Maybe I don't know about advice because we're trying to work through it too. But maybe a little insight. Maybe a little insight.
A little insight. All right, I'll take it. Let's
do it together.
Because we are just mere mortals as well.
Oh my God, absolutely. You know, we have to address the elephant in the room. Everyone's talking about it. It's on every news station. It's in the headlines, and that's the COVID-19, guys. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. How did we get
here? Oh, man. You know, it's interesting. Initially, I just tried to stay away from it and, you know, push it aside as much as possible. But it's kind of difficult because you can't watch the news without hearing about it. You can't go on social media. You can't Google. You pretty much can't do anything.
And now,
it's to the point where, like, I was at a certain level of peace initially, but now I'm teetering that line between should I be worried? And I'm going to stay inside. And like the other portion is like, God is going to take care of everything. Like I'm good. But I'm like, man, it wasn't like that in the beginning. So like recently I've like been struggling trying to find my place. Cause I'm like, I'm not where I was a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, you hear about New York, you hear about how quickly this thing is spreading. You hear about the lack of resources and equipment that they have to treat the, you know, many people who have it and people who will acquire it. And, you know, sometimes you do, you know, develop a sense of anxiety. So I really, at this point, I try to stay away from it as much as possible. I mean, of course, you get your updates and so on, but I don't want to get to the point where, like, it's becoming a part of my everyday thought. It's becoming a part of, you know, my thinking and you know, who I am. Because naturally, I'm not going to sit there and worry. But because everybody else and so many people are on edge, it's like, man, I'm trying to stay, you know, at a level of peace and just be calm. But then, like, just opposed to, you know, someone who may be next to you, like, oh, my God, it's Corona. It's Corona. Like, we're all going to get it. We're all going to die. And I'm like, man, like, come on. And, like,
that anxiety can cause stress itself, yes. And then you could become
exactly
from another person. It's like I found this really funny, but like it was just me in the spring 2020. Each month has out ghetto the last month. I was like, yeah, I can see why people can be stressed about everything that's going on. But like once again, it's like take heed to everything you're hearing from the CDC and so on, so you can just protect yourself. And do what makes you happy inside the house. Talk to your dad. There was this tweet.
Or don't talk to him if that makes you happy.
It's true. Miles.
Keep your peace. Hey, I'm just being honest.
Some guy tweeted saying like, "Oh wow, I found this lovely lady in my house. Her name's Mom." I'm like, "Look, talk to your parents."
Wow. You know,
Go ahead.
No, baby, go ahead. I want to hear this. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what does fear actually do for us? Nothing positive.
Nothing.
You know, the best thing we can do is hold one another accountable, be responsible, and take the necessary precautions. But as KJ mentioned, like, fear is just going to build up bad energy and toxins in your body. You know, and if you're not, it's a good segue. Go ahead.
I don't know who I was talking to.
I was just saying a bunch of nothing. That's all.
Oh, no, don't you dare.
I was talking to a friend, listening for my project. And I said that you have two choices. You can either fear or dream. Both have the same level of energy. So, like, fear creates a mental block in your mind. Like, oh, this is going to happen if I do this. But dreams flip it into a positive direction to something you want. So you have to understand, you don't either create dream or fear, because fear is not real. And so dreams aren't real either. So you got to pick one. One's a positive route and one's a negative route. One keeps you moving, one keeps you stuck. So,
you know what they say.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were almost done. Go ahead.
No. Now speak.
I was just
is kind of hard.
Especially when you're not near each other.
Yes.
But no, I was just about to piggyback off of, fear, and you can either dream of fear. And then when you think of fear, what is fear? What can fear stand for? False evidence appearing
false
real.
Absolutely.
So, I was just piggybacking off of what you were saying, KJ.
Go ahead, slam dunk. I'll give you the alley and you just hoop it.
There we go.
This is how we do it.
There we go.
This is how
right
we
in the
do
midst
it.
Of a canceled NBA season, man. That brings back memories.
If you were playing Miami Heat and the Spurs tonight, everybody at ESPN.
Oh my God. You know, but addressing what you were saying about fear, KJ, Niles, I mean, you guys were spot on. And you're absolutely right. The acronyms are, false evidence appearing real. But I want you to also kind of think that on Monday, I did a segment called Facts versus Truth. Right. And, you know, you could go anywhere with that. But I wanted to just really address, yes, it is a fact that we are in the throes of a pandemic. Yes, that's a fact. Yes, it is a fact that as far as we know, this particular pandemic likes to target the airways, whether it's upper respiratory and or lower respiratory. Those are facts. Facts is data that we've been able as scientists and what have you to gather. But you got to go back to the truth. Yes, it's a fact that it's here. Yes, it's a fact that unfortunately people are suffering with it. Unfortunately, there will be mass casualties for a lack of a better terminology. But the truth is, the greater one lives in us. So the greater one is bigger than COVID-19, is bigger than cancer. He's bigger than anything that we could ever think about. And when you're applying what you know as truth, truth will always trump fact. It'll always trump it. So I started thinking, I was thinking Sunday evening, I was talking to my husband and I'm thinking, okay, I need to go to the grocery store because the media is saying, oh my God, we're, you know, it's going to be the worst 2 weeks. And then I said, wait, hold up, time out. Wait a minute. How dare you speak facts and thinking what you're speaking is going to be my truth or the truth, right? So what are the necessary precautions that we can take? We can stay 6 feet apart because we know it stays in the air. We know that the droplets, you know, like to, you know, get in your nose and your eye, any kind of orifice that's open. That's why they're telling you don't touch your face, don't touch your mouth, your eyes, your nose. We get that. But how dare a fact or facts try to keep me from living? No, you don't have a right. You guys said it yourself that life is a gift. So who gives that enemy, who gives that thief the right to impose itself on my gift? No, no. I put my mask on and normally I do not, but I said, okay, I'll put it on. And here I was in the grocery store yesterday. Yes, I did. I'm dancing because I told you a few shows ago, I got my dance back. I can hear the music again now. And I'm trying to show folks that you're going to be okay. And when you get to a level that you welcome death as a part of life, you'll begin to say to yourself, you know what? If I die, I win. If I die, I still win. I still win. So you take that sting, you take death as being a big old 300-pound Rottweiler with no teeth, and you tell him, you can't harm me. All you can do is bark and cause me to harm myself because I'm running from you. No. I got to take my power back. No. And guess what? I'm still alive. I made it. Today's Wednesday. And I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know who holds my tomorrow. And I'm good with that. So we're going to take this thing one day at a time. We're going to eat this pecan pie with ice cream as a pie a la mode, one bite at a time. And we're going to get through this. And we're not going to lose ourselves, but we got to stay busy. We got to. We gotta get busy. Don't let that light that Niles is talking about, don't let that light come and catch you with your work not even started or undone as a Christianese.
Quick question though. How do you communicate that to somebody who has been comfortable in fear? Because that works for anybody who's like, okay, I'm teetering. I know the truth. Yeah. But like, how do you communicate to somebody? It's like, look, this is all I know. This is all I'm comfortable with. How do you break that?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, breaking it. I think the best you can do is just provide the information, the facts, you know, the insight. And then hopefully it weighs on that person and they're able to digest it. But it's difficult changing someone's mindset, and it's difficult to break a habit, especially if it's been a habit that you've been practicing for years. So the best you can do is kind of like with evangelism, is put the message out there, you know, do your piece, do your portion. And hopefully you get you came from a place of conviction and being able to deliver it in a way that's digestible and understandable. And then maybe it might hit that person then, maybe it might hit them later, but, you know, trust that hopefully if you, you know, convey the information or whatever it is, you know, accurately and, you know, from a place where they understand and they don't feel offended by it, then, you know, possibly it could change their perspective. But, you know, I don't think we should go into things, you know, trying to change people's perspective. I think that's, you know, based on their walk. The best thing we can do is provide them with the information and the tools.
That is so wonderful. Oh, my God. That is so beautifully spoken by our Niles Stinkley. And I agree wholeheartedly. Be consistent. You know, how do you get someone out of fear? You be consistent with what you're believing. You're right. I don't want to push my beliefs off on you, but if something is working for me and I'm consistently showing you and saying it, you know, this is what I use, man, it's working. This is what I use, it's working. After a while, you're going to start coming out just a little bit more, like maybe like a turtle coming out of the shell saying, okay, let me look. Okay, all right, 2 months ago, she was still talking the same thing. Okay, 3 months ago, she's still talking the same thing. Okay, 4 months ago. So people, we learn by repetition. We learn by letting people know that you really do matter. Not just saying it one time, but being an open demonstration. And then you pray, you know, you may plant the seed. Somebody else may come and water, but we already know it's God who gives the increase in any seed. When that sun begins to shine on that plant, the plant's going to grow. If it's in the right environment, it's got to grow. Even when there's pruning, and you look at that pruning, and that's another subject. We'll talk about that later. But I do want people to know that, you know, this show really is to get us to a place where we need to be. It's a show where we have three totally different persons and we're doing our thing, but the symbiotic relationship is established because we honestly believe in serving people with our gifts. We honestly believe that we don't know all of the answers, and we're not pretending that we do, but we're being transparent enough to show you, you know what, this is working for us, guys. That's what the show is about. It's about meeting people right where they are and almost challenging them to pull that greatness out of themselves. Wouldn't you agree, Niles, KJ?
Yes, of course. I like that word, symbiotic. That was very scientific. That was a great way to bring everything home.
She's a doctor. She's a doctor.
I know, right? That took me back to biology.
Biology, yeah. I know, right? You know where I got that, right? The cow, the black cow, the brown cow, and the bird that eats the fleas off the cow's back so the cow can enjoy eating the green grass. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Two different things, but it works.
But they all work together.
Absolutely. And that's what we do. That's what we do, guys. Absolutely. So I honestly believe we're going to get through this. We're going to practice what we preach. We're going to read. We're going to write our plans and our goals. We're going to literally do that soul searching, still away if you have to, even in a crowded house under, you know, quarantine, you know, safer at home objectives, directives. And we're gonna do life together. That's what we do.
Yeah. And it's true.
Yeah. Let's do life. Let's do it.
So guys, this has been our show. We honestly thank everyone for showing up. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back here, God's willing, in the Creek Don't Rise, Wednesday, 2:00, for another edition of Talk Dr. Tanji Show. Dr. Tanji Show. Until then, bye.
Bye.
See you guys. It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.